Give it up for Love OKC Student Conference.
Good morning to you good people. How y'all living? Everybody good? I guess it's afternoon now, not so much morning. I am so grateful to be here with you all today. My name is Hetty. I get the great opportunity to serve Guthrie as the location pastor, and they thought that I hadn't been here in a few years, that they had pulled me out. Just so y'all can see me, that I do exist, that I'm alive and well and not just on the screen. So Pastor Rodney said, hey, Hetty, you want to come down here and preach? But no, I am so thankful for the opportunity. Just for some of you all who may not know who I am exactly, I think the best way to kind of tell you who I am is tell you the best part of me. And the best part of me is this good-looking woman who is on the screen. She goes by the name of Bernadette, and she is my wife, and I am so grateful for her. Yeah, you can give it up for her. I am so grateful for her, and I won't tell you all the stories about how she's chased me for so long when we were in high school, just trying to get with me because I was sexy and all that, but you know. No, I won't tell you all those stories. But I will say this, like, we're going on 15 years now, and going on 15 years. And I remember whenever I asked her to marry me, I don't know how many of y'all know that phones had antennas back in the day that would go in and out like that. And so I walked up to her. She was at an apartment outreach in Oklahoma City. And so I handed her the phone and said, hey, Corey wants to talk to you. Corey's my cousin. And she got the phone and said, hello. And nobody was there. And she looked back at me. And when she looked back at me, I was down on one knee. And I don't know how many of you all know exactly when I say this, what this means. Some of y'all will. But I said, hey, will you be my ride or die forever? Y'all know what ride or die? Some of y'all like, no. Y'all do? You got me? Yeah. So anyway, I was that one, and I asked that, and she says, yes. And I started screaming. I jumped up, and I ran the opposite way versus towards her. I just kind of lost my mind there because I was so excited about this woman. But 15 years later, I should have got down on both knees and begged her to marry me because she's been so good to me. I love her. She is faithfully serving alongside me in Guthrie, and she couldn't come today because she is up in Guthrie serving the local church. And so, and she's been so good to me that, like, she lets me just be me. And I'm a little wild and crazy. I like to have fun and just get out there. So much so, I thought I'd share this picture so y'all can see what I'm talking about. You know, look at her. She's just happy. Like, either she's happy or she's like, how in the world did I end up with this guy? You know what I'm saying? She's either saying one or the other. But that is my sweetie pie. In our house, we are always having so much fun. We're always trying to have fun. Like, just the other night, I tried to get her. How many of y'all ever seen the movie with John Travolta? He's dancing, Dirty Dancing. And there's the scene where the girl runs at him and jumps, and he picks her up and twirls her. Like, just in the middle of a movie, I just got up and tried to get her to do that with me, and she's like, are you crazy? Sit down. But that's just the kind of stuff that happens in my house. I don't know what happens in your house. She's also been so good to me that we have three awesome children, and I thought I'd show you my family on the screen. That is the tallest guy is Kenneth. He is my son. He is chill as you want to be. You don't get much out of him. But that is my boy. And then the guy in the green jacket, you will get plenty out of him. He's probably going to give you more than you want. And that is my man, Zell. Pastor, somebody tell me, wait, first let me finish out. I got a funny story. This young lady here, that's my princess, and she's my favorite child. And my sons know this. And, you know, I'm cool with going to counseling later, you know. I'm like, I'm all right with going to some counseling if y'all want to go to counseling, but she's my favorite, you know, and I just tell the counselor straight up, she's my favorite, you know, what do you got? You know, bring something. But I just want to say the other day some lady came up to me and she says, you know what, she may be your favorite, but Zell's Pastor Rodney's favorite. Because he said, he's always talking about Pastor Rodney's always talking about Zell and his messages. I think recently he had a picture of him and showed Zell, and I just thought that was pretty funny. I was like, yeah, I guess maybe. But I also thought that I shared with you the lady who birthed me. And this is my mom, my good-looking mom right here. I love her to death. She also serves in Guthrie. Actually, this morning she went and picked up some people for church and then also took them home. So she is right there with me serving. I also want to say that you all have some of the best pastor ever. And Pastor Rodney and Shannon, they are amazing people. The more and more I get to spend time with them, I just love them more and more and get to know them. And they're just down-to-earth people. Like, I like just to be around down-to-earth people. They're just everyday people, but just passionate about serving the kingdom and making Jesus famous. So I love them, and I just want to thank you for your leadership and what you do. So let's give it up for Pastor Rodney and Pastor Shannon. Also, I want to give, if you don't know Pastor Clint, he's a little bit behind the scenes, but he's not behind the scenes. He gets on stage and everything. But Clint and I have a special relationship. One, we spent about 2 years meeting every Monday morning doing memory scriptures. So every Monday morning, we would get together and do a memory scripture when I first came on the team. And through that, we just kind of grew our bond. But then we was like, well, that ain't enough. We need to go a little deeper. And so Clint and I worked diligently at planning Guthrie. And so as I continue to spend time with Clint, Clint is like a brother to me. I love him. But I just want to let you know that he's one of the most hardest working guys, and he wants the best for all of you. He is Pastor Rodney's right-hand man. And I'm going to tell you what, you can't ask for better leaders than Pastor Rodney and Pastor Clint. And I'm always learning from them and getting more and more from them so I can grow in who God's called me to be. So let's give it up for Pastor Clint, if we could. Just real quick, I want to shout out Deer Creek and just continue to do the mighty work that you're going to do in Deer Creek. I'm excited about how Pastor Samson and Hope will lead Deer Creek and continue to see life change there. Also, I want to give a shout out to Freedom House and what God is doing there. But I just want to take a quick, like, you all are family, right? But then there's family. So there's the family that you live with that loves you through all your junk and dirt, right? They know everything on you. And then there's the family who may not live with you, but they're family, your cousins and all that. I just have to take a quick moment just to give some love to Guthrie America and the location in Guthrie. If y'all just go on and celebrate Guthrie with me. God is doing some amazing things in Guthrie. Our last baptism, we had 7 spontaneous baptisms. 7 people just out of the blue coming to say, hey, I want to get baptized. That's a big deal, folks. That is a really big deal. We also had an increase in numbers after Mother's Day. Typically, that number goes the opposite after Mother's Day. So things continue to do. God's doing some amazing things in Guthrie. And I'm excited that he's letting me just hang out and go along. Because in Guthrie, they do all the work. It's amazing, amazing, amazing. Our heroes in Guthrie, how they have just grown and blossomed and continue to serve the local church in such a way that's just amazing to me. Like, I can just not even be there today and just know that they're in good hands. Because they're doing amazing things and serving the local church out there, and so I am thankful for them. Are y'all ready to jump into the Word of God? Can I get a little bit more than that? Are y'all ready to jump into the Word of God? Come on. Come on, y'all. This ain't the 8:30 now. The 8:30 has so much energy. I ain't trying to get y'all to compete with them. I'm not expecting more amens when I say this. Well, maybe I am. I'm expecting a little bit more amens, but 8:30 was on fire. I was like, is somebody paying you to be here this morning? Like, y'all know Hattie's coming. We need good attendance. But no, they were in the place, and they were excited about all that God is doing. Before I pray, though, I want to say this. So, you know, Pastor Rodney's always talking about diversity. He wants to see more ethnicity in us coming together and worshiping God together. And I just want to say, on this series, he's really trying to show you that we have some diversity. First, he starts out. And if y'all didn't know, Pastor Rodney's white. He's a white American. He's real white. You know what I'm saying? Ain't nothing wrong with that. We family. We talk like this, right? Well, we're going to anyway, if you like it or not. You know what I'm saying? And then he said, you know what? I'm going to bring my Indian. So Samson came. Huh? Samson came last week. And wait, real quick. Samson talked about his station wagon. I rode in that station wagon. That station wagon is legit. Like, the ignition thing is in the middle of the seats, so he takes his thing and plugs it down there. He made it sound like his station wagon was just some kind of station wagon. Oh, he got a legit station wagon. I said, give me the station wagon whenever you get your new car. I'll ride the station wagon. But so we got a white pastor. Then we bring the Indian, who's white too. He's Indian, but he's white. He the whitest. I don't know a whole bunch of Indians, but I promise you, he's the whitest one I know. Then Pastor Rodney said, you know what? Let's go on and bring out the black preacher. Come on. Let's bring the black preacher. And let me tell you something. Huh? Come on, church. Come on. Are y'all ready to preach or not? Are you ready for the word of God to go forward? Huh? Where is it? I tried to get them to rent me an organ for the day, but they wouldn't do it. Huh? I brought my towel just in case some of y'all. Come on. We going to do some church in here today. Stand to your feet. Come on, let's stand to your feet. I'm going to pray over you crazy people. And I'm going to tell you what, you can laugh and have fun in church and God still do a work in you. You ain't got to be all serious. You can smile and laugh a little bit. Come on. Let's raise our hand. Let's raise both hands in there. I don't know how many of y'all have been arrested before. Y'all like, who let this guy on stage? Now put your hands up in there. Come on. Look, she's scared to put your hands up. This ain't really, you ain't getting arrested. Go on and put your hands in there. I remember the first time I got arrested. For real, I remember the first time I got arrested. And the cop said, put your hands in there. And they had a gun. So I was like, you know why they had me do that? So I could be vulnerable. You know, I surrendered to them. It was a sign like, hey, I'm all yours. And hey, today, I want you to say to Jesus, I'm all yours. Father, I just want your word to do a magnificent thing in me today. Huh? I want my life to be changed over these next 30 minutes by your word, Father God. Just say with me, I surrender my life over to you, Father, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, now look at somebody and say, you sure are beautiful. Come on, you beautiful, you beautiful. You beautiful, you beautiful. Some of y'all ain't been told that in a long time. Come on, look, that, no kissing. Now they smooching and everything. Come on, none of that today, not right now. I told y'all, some of y'all ain't heard that in so long, it did something for you. For you married folks, anyway. All right. Come on. Let's get into this word. I'm excited about what God. So today we're going to talk about warriors are about others. Warriors are about others. Warriors about others. And I just want to give you four things. Before we go into that, I just want to read some scripture to you. So Mark chapter 2 says, when Jesus returned to C-Town, because I can't say that word. I can't say it. So Jesus returned. It's okay. They're like, this guy can't even say the words in the Bible. You got him up there preaching. It'll be all right. Trust me. Several days later, the news spread quickly that he was back home. I asked myself, I done read this several times now, and I keep asking myself, what is it that my life should represent to where I come back home from somewhere and the news spread quickly because your whole community is just excited to know you're back home? Like, I think there's a certain lifestyle that you can get to where people feel that way about you. Like, they'd be like, Hedy's back, y'all. Tell everybody Hedy's back. What kind of lifestyle is that you need to be living? Then verse 2 says, soon, say that with me, say soon. Soon. Look at your neighbor and say soon, soon, soon. Okay. Soon the house where he was staying was so packed with visitors that there was no more room. Say no more room. You got to say it like me, say no more room. I like y'all. Ooh, y'all will go there with me. All right. Even outside the door, not only was it packed inside the house, but even outside the door, there was a lot of people. So now I'm asking myself this question. Not only did the news spread quickly that he was back home, how do I live that way? But then how do I live in such a way that they rush to your house? Oh, because let me show you what he was doing when they rushed to his house. They rushed and they were packed in there while he was preaching God's word to them. And I said this, why ain't the church packed? Why are there empty seats in here? Shouldn't we be living in such a way that people rush to us? This is just a question I'm asking myself because I want to begin to make the adjustments in my life because I want people to rush to church. Because he was preaching God's word. What are we doing today? Preaching God's word. But I feel like there's a lifestyle or a certain way as a warrior that we probably should be living. So when people hear that the doors of the church are, they rush here. Because they're going to get something. These people knew that if they showed up at the house, they were going to get something. Because God's word is life-giving. How many of you want more life? Huh? How many of you want more life? Like, ooh, I love being around people that's full of life. If you wonder why people don't want to be around you, it's probably because you ain't full of life. You always complaining, negative. Huh? Y'all quiet on me. Y'all quiet on me. Okay, let's read. Let's keep reading. I want y'all to invite me back. Verse 3. Four men arrived carrying a paralyzed man on a mat. Then verse 4. They couldn't bring him to Jesus because of the crowd. And here's, I'm like, man, I want people to have to try to get somebody to me because there's such a big crowd in my house, right? Like, don't you want to be that kind of person? I just feel I'm crazy enough to believe that God can do something in me and use me in such a way that I can get a crowd and people are trying to get to me because I'm representing my Jesus. Here it is. Come on. Let's keep going. I don't even know where I'm at. So they dug a hole through the roof above his head. Then they lowered the man on his mat right down in front of Jesus, seeing their faith. Jesus said to the paralyzed man, my child, this is Jesus talking, my child, your sins are forgiven. Your sins are forgiven. So I want to give you four things. I'm going to go back through some of these verses, and I want to give you four things about warriors being about others. Because I think the key here for us is that when we're about others, we start building those relationships and we start speaking life into people. People are going to begin to start rushing to us. But let's look at these four things and let's evaluate. You be evaluating yourself as we walk through these things. Because I've been evaluating myself and looking at this and having people pray for me. Here's the first verse, Mark 2:3. We're going back through them. Four men arrived carrying a paralyzed man on a mat. The first thing I want you to write down, warriors carry the load of others. Warriors carry the load of others. See, I think they could have said this. They could have said, four men arrived carrying a hungry man. They could have said this. Four men arrived carrying a single mom. They could have said this. Two men and two women arrived carrying a jobless man. These are different loads and needs that people have. They could have said, four women arrived carrying a suicidal teenager. There's a lot of different loads out there that people are carrying. Would you be willing to carry it for them? When we start saying, hey, I'll take that. You ever been in a place to where you see somebody carrying something heavy? Like they're unloading their car, and you go over there and you say, hey, I'll carry that for you. And you see their face come, and it's like they're at ease. They find a peace because you're carrying that load for them. My grandmother was a load carrier. My grandmother had 13 children. I heard somebody whistle like, yeah. I have three. And if my wife came to me right now and said she was pregnant, I'd be like, what in the world? No, I'm just not going to be that excited. I'll probably be excited, but I'm not going to be excited. You know what I'm saying? Huh? 13 children. But my grandmother still wanted to carry the load of others. So one time, my uncles and aunts, because I was the oldest grandchild, I ended up living with my grandparents. We rush upstairs to go to bed. There's four beds in one big room. My grandparents lived in a three-bedroom house, 13 kids. Now you got grandkids coming. There's two people in each bed. Just giving you an idea of the way I was living and raised. And so we wake up the next morning, we rush down because we want to watch cartoons. like all kids do. And in our house, on one TV was the sound. On the other TV, come on, you know what I'm talking about. On the other TV was the screen, like you can actually see what was going on. Ain't none of y'all been there, huh? Y'all were like, Hedy was po. I was real po. So, but when we get down there to watch, we get quiet because we see a man sleeping on the couch. And we knew who that man was because that man lived across the street. And we knew that they had a very wild lifestyle. So we're like, what in the world is this man doing on our couch? And we asked my grandmother what he's doing on the couch. And she said, well, he was having some difficulties last night. He was drunk. His family locked him out the house. And he needed a place to stay. You're like, did he have to stay here? She's like, yes. Because my grandmother knew that when he woke up the next morning, she was going to give him Jesus. She's like, you know why I let you stay with me, boy? Because Jesus. My grandmother carried the load of others because she knew that was going to be the way for her to connect them to Jesus. I don't know what you came to hear today. Mark 2:4 says this. They couldn't bring him to Jesus because of the crowd. Here's the number two thing I want you to write down. Warriors aren't distracted by the crowd. Warriors aren't distracted by the crowd. Oh, it hurts me when I hear people say, well, I can't serve because I got this and that. And sometimes it's true, but sometimes it's just a distraction. It's just a distraction, people. And the most important thing that we can ever do is present the gospel of Jesus Christ to somebody. When people come to know Jesus, that's when eternal life happens. But we get distracted. I don't know what your distraction is. I know what my distractions are. But we let these things distract us. I remember my senior year, my summer before my senior year, I decided I was going to play football. And I knew that in order for me to get on the field, I was going to need to be in the best shape possible. And nobody wants to be a senior and not touch the field, right? Like, I don't want the only time I touch the field to be on senior night when you walk out there with your parents. I want to make sure that I touch the field. So I went running every night. I had a best friend, and he and I went running every night. And sometimes while we were running, because we grew up in a small town, I grew up in Guthrie, we would see our friends hanging out. And sometimes we wanted to stop and hang out, but if we did, we knew we wouldn't finish our runs. And I knew that I needed to be in shape if I wanted to touch the field. And that was the mission. And so my senior year, I went in, and I remember when we would do our laps and things like that, and my friends, they were all bent over like this, and I was like this because I came in shape. And not only that, I ended up starting. Then I ended up being defensive player of the year. And then I ended up being recruited by colleges to come play football. Why? Because I didn't let those crowds distract me. And that's not even as big as the distractions that we allow to keep us from sharing the love of Jesus with people. And sometimes it's not just the crowd. It's us who get in the way. We're too embarrassed. Well, I don't really think I have to be that loud of a Christian. I don't think that I have to really live like that in order for people to know that I'm. Sometimes it's not the crowd, but it's us. Here, let's look at this next verse. Look at this next verse. So they dug a hole through the roof above his head. Then they lowered the man on his mat right down in front of Jesus. Here's number three. Warriors are creative in their approach. Warriors are creative in their approach. So I didn't go and look up what kind of roof this was and all that. All I know is that these people were serious about getting this man in front of Jesus. And I thought it was pretty creative that they went up on the roof, carried up on the roof, and got him down right in front of Jesus. It didn't say they lowered him in the back of the room. It didn't say that they lowered him on the side. It said that they lowered him right in front of Jesus. Are you bringing people right in front of Jesus? Or are you trying to do it on the side? How are you creatively reaching people for Jesus? So one of the things is, I haven't dug any holes, but one of the things that I do that I think is pretty simple, is that I write people notes. And so about a year or so ago, I decided that I was going to write 3 notes a day. And these are just handwritten notes. In every note, I try to write the scripture, Hebrews 10, 24, 25. Because I wanted, so my note is just to encourage people. And so in 2017, I wrote over 1,000 handwritten notes to people. Why? Because I just wanted a way that I could get Jesus in front of them. My hope is that when they open that card and then they say, oh, what is this scripture? Let me go to this scripture. And then I'm putting Jesus right in front of them. How are you doing simple creative things in order to get the people to know that Jesus Christ and who he is? Here's another thing I like to do. Every time I try to lead somebody, I always say, God loves you. Then I'll say, go win. But I say, God loves you, because I don't want to lead people with heady. I want to lead people with God. I don't want it to be about me. I want it to be about Jesus. Here's the fourth thing. First, let me show the scripture. Seeing their faith, Jesus said to the paralyzed man, my child, your sins are forgiven. Here's the fourth thing. Warriors give others a reason to change seats. Warriors give others a reason to change seats. But here's the thing that I want you to see. It said, seeing their faith. Seeing their faith. Does Jesus see your faith? Does Jesus see your faith? And because this is their faith, not the paralyzed man's faith. It's their faith that he sees. So you know what that tells me? That it can be my faith that gives opportunity for someone to change seats. It's not about them. And so oftentimes we say, look at them. Or it's no, your faith. So I have this story. I have a friend. His name is Derek. And I met Derek at a coffee shop at Java Days on 10th Street in downtown Oklahoma City. The reason I met Derek is because I just went over and said hello to Derek. I just talked to people. I don't know if I've ever met a stranger. But the reason I do that, let me tell you the reason I do that, because I thought when I was growing up, when I was called into ministry, I thought this is what I was going to do. I thought I was going to preach every week. I went and bought suits and everything. Like, I was ready, because back then, my grandfather, every time I saw my grandfather get in the pulpit, he was in a suit. I was ready. I was ready to go and get in the pulpit and preach every Sunday in some form or fashion. But I remember one time I was running, and I'm just trying to get to this so you can know why I went and spoke to Derek. I was running one time, and God said, Hetty, I didn't call you to be up in the pulpit. I'm like, what? I gotta return these suits. He says, Hetty, I called you to outreach. And I said, what is outreach? And he said this to me. He said, acts of kindness. And so the reason I walked up to Derek is because I just wanted to be kind to him. I just wanted to say, hello, my name is Hattie. How are you doing today? And from that introduction, just being kind to him, Derek and I have been friends for almost 13 years now. And Derek just recently wrote a book. And in his book, he gave credit to me for being a life changer to him. Just from being kind. And Derek and I now are doing cool stuff together. We were in Waco together last week, and we were speaking to a group. And Derek went up on stage, and he took two paint buckets with him. And he sat on one of the paint buckets. And he said, my father, and everybody was like, he says, my father would take me to my ball games. And he said, my father would take me to my activities. He would drive me. And he said he would take me to my friend's house and let me hang out. And he says, but then one day my father looked at me and he said, Derek, one day we will change seats. We'll change seats. And Derek said that It was when he was 16 or 17, he was just driving his friends around. His daddy had bought him a car. Because see, in order for him to change seats, he had to give him an opportunity. So he got him a car, and he was driving his friends around. And all that, and he said it dawned on him one day that he and his father had changed seats. That paralyzed man, those four guys who carried him and dropped him down in front of Jesus, they gave opportunity for that man to change seats. When you begin to carry other people's loads, you give opportunity for those people to change seats. When you stop being distracted and jump in there and say, what do I need to serve at? How do I get out in the community and start reaching people? How do I start showing acts of kindness? How do I start being a difference maker? You give opportunity for people to change seats. And then somebody said to me the other night, they's like, man, Jesus gives us opportunity to change seats. Because Jesus carried your sins. Jesus did not get distracted. That's the reason he went in the temple and he started swinging and stuff and started turning it up. He's like, you're getting distracted. You're losing focus on the wrong thing. Jesus didn't get distracted. And Jesus was creative in how he reached people. He got down at one time when the blind man, he grabbed the mud. Huh? He grabbed the mud. He starts playing with the mud. And then there's the blind man, and he takes the mud, and he wipes it on the blind man's eyes because he knew that when his father saw it, the blind man would see again. Are we willing to make mud and put it on the blind man's eyes? Are we too distracted and not creative enough and not willing to carry the load? In Acts 2:44, I love this. I love it. I feel like if we get this, oh my goodness. In Acts 2:44, it says that they all came together and they begin to sell their possessions in order to meet each other's need. Now, what that tells me is that there was a good group of people who didn't have an overflow in finances, right? So they had to figure out, because your load is so important to me that I'm going to go sell some things in order to make sure that your need is met. And then that one person did it, and then they started saying that everybody started doing this in order to make sure needs were met. Because when people have a load on them, they can't function right. When people are worried and sick, they can't move right. But when you start lifting up the knees and start grabbing people's groceries, they begin to be at ease and they begin to function in life as they should. And here's what it says. It says when they started doing that, God had started adding to them. They grew in favor. Are you willing to carry the load? North Church, are we willing to carry the load? North Church, are we willing to stop being distracted in order to reach more people for Jesus? North Church, are we willing to be creative in how we go and reach people for Jesus Christ? Are we having a passion to see people change seats? Somebody should be standing and shouting and screaming all over this place. Come on, get fired up for Jesus. Who's ready to go? Come on, come on, come on. Come on, Jesus. Come on, Jesus. Oh, oh. All eyes closed. All eyes closed. If today you say, hey, I want to change seats, there's something in me, and the Holy Spirit speaks to me, and I want to change seats.
I want you to repeat this prayer. I want everybody to repeat after me. Say, Father, I'm a sinner. And I thank you for sending Jesus Christ to die for my sins in order for me to be whole and there's nothing missing or broken in my life. I believe that Jesus rose again on the third day. Thank you for dying for me. In Jesus' name, amen.